Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Let's turn back the clock a little bit, back to January, in fact, when the Monetary Authority of Singapore issued the new Technology Risk Management Guidelines. It was heavily updated and refreshed from the previous guidelines that were issued back in 2013.
Oh, yeah, that's because a lot has happened since then. The guidelines apply to all financial institutions, which also includes payment services licensees.
The recent SolarWinds breach, we talked about that. That's brought to the fore the pertinent issue of how proprietary software from third-party IT vendors could pose serious threats to end users.
Yeah, and we've seen other examples of this as well. So the incident there sparked serious implications for the IT industry, the regulatory scene, and digital efforts undertaken by key sectors. And that, of course, includes finance and banking.
So what does the new guidelines mean for the financial sector's bid to transform? Does it slow it down, perhaps?
Yeah, all good questions, as well as how can tech vendors in the banking, financial services, and insurance industry learn from it and then navigate future partnerships.
Well, let's find out more from Stephen McNulty, who is President Asia Pacific and Japan for Micro Focus. Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I suppose let's start off with that hack that has been a turning point for both governments and businesses, Sunburst, in fact. And some have said that it could take years to fully comprehend one of the biggest ever cyber attacks. Any chance you could give us a bit of a backgrounder and refresher on this Sunburst hack?
Yes, sure. And so, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. And certainly a lot has happened. And to a point you made earlier, nothing has slowed down. Things have only accelerated. So for your listeners who may not know, Micro Focus, we're based in the UK. We're listed on the London Stock Exchange. We're one of the world's largest software companies and have more than 40,000 customers globally who we work with to help them achieve cyber resilience and also digital transformation. In the Asia-Pacific region, which I lead, cyber resilience is a huge focus for our customers. And thus, we've been monitoring the SolarWinds incident very, very closely. So most will be aware, in this incident, Russian hackers allegedly injected a piece of malware into many thousands of businesses and government organizations that use the SolarWinds software. The hackers basically injected code into SolarWinds, into the platform, which was then distributed to thousands of companies unknowingly, including many government agencies. So by infiltrating these agencies and private networks, the hackers were able to gain access to critical data such as user ID, passwords, financial records, source code, etc. Now, I'm obviously not in the best position to comment on any geopolitical ramifications of this attack, but what I can talk about is the impact on the IT community, which has been massive. So the attack led to large-scale investigations and the gaps in security software, basically asking the questions, how could this have happened? Specifically, the lack of security testing and best practices amongst developer teams who are not equipped to detect that was, in fact, malicious code in their software.
Yeah, so let's talk about the security gaps. I mean, one of the things that emerged in headlines for those of us who are lay people in comparison to your level of knowledge was around third-party IT vendors. Is this where the real problem was?
In this particular case, yes. So people build a platform and they buy technologies from various vendors to build that platform. And they use the platform to build digital banking apps that we use on our phones. Obviously, those digital apps are connecting to back-end systems, etc. So companies are trusting that the tech vendors that they're buying these pieces of technology from have tested their software and therefore didn't do adequate testing themselves. So they build on this platform thinking everything's secure, not realizing there's some hidden malware behind the scenes that can be penetrated whenever someone decides to activate it.
Stephen, so, you know, with regard to the SolarWinds breach, proprietary software from third-party vendors, obviously, that could pose a threat, and you've alluded quite a bit to that. What do we do now, especially with these new MAS revised technology risk management guidelines? I suppose the question that we wanted to ask, the long-form question is, does it slow down transformation? But walk us through some of these new guidelines.
Yeah, sure. So I'll answer the first part that you said, has anything slowed down? And it's absolutely not. I mean, I think we've all had quite an unusual year. And one of the things that has happened, although organizations, not just financial institutions, have been doing and planning digital transformation for a long, long time, COVID has only accelerated it. So the ability to reach and interact with customers, suppliers, partners, etc., without actually touching them, without seeing them, has increased digital transformation. It's increased the speed. And of course, when you increase the speed of anything, you potentially increase the risk of things being overlooked. So when you look at the guidelines on MES, the guidelines focus specifically on addressing technology and cyber risk in the environment of growing use, especially among financial institutions. Technologies like cloud that we're all familiar with, something called application programming interfaces, which are commonly called APIs, and these essentially are pieces of code that connect different technologies together and rapid software development. So the guidelines, they reinforce the importance of incorporating security controls from day one of the development cycle, not basically waiting until the end and then testing it. By that time, it could be way too late. So if you look at the recent cyber attacks, including obviously SolarWinds, the attacks on supply chains, which targeted multiple IT service providers through the exploitation of the SolarWinds network management software. There's a very common platform that people buy and build on, like I mentioned earlier. So it's a clear indication of worsening cyber threat environments, and the guidelines set out specific risk mitigation strategies. So they look to establish robust processes for the timely analysis and sharing of cyber threat intelligence. So if someone attacks you, don't keep it secret. You let people know so the world outside you can protect and act as well. And also to allow companies or to enforce amongst companies to allow these companies to force these companies to stress test their cyber defenses by simulating attacks, tactics, techniques, procedures, etc., used by the real-world attackers, so they can circumvent them, but also they can react quickly if something has to actually happen. So the guidelines, they mandate that the financial institutions provide more stringent processes for all vendors, including and specifically third-party tech vendors like us and the SolarWinds, etc., much higher standards in the areas of technology, risk governance, and security controls. So at Micro Focus, we see this absolutely as a move in the right direction. It shows that tech regulation scene in Singapore has achieved a new level of maturity globally as well. Deeper regulatory understanding of the role of tech in laying the foundation in the future for digital banking in Singapore and around the world. And also, you know, with these new guidelines, also highlight that there's been organizational change. It's not just about technology. It's about the business processes behind the scene across the board and amongst all stakeholders, with even reaching out into the deep culture of an organisation, how people work and interact together.
Yeah, Stephen McNulty, President Asia Pacific and Japan at Micro Focus, speaking to us about this issue of, you know, cyber threats, particularly in the finance sector. Stephen, I do want to ask you though, as a third party vendor, don't you feel that, or was there any response to this hack where financial institutions were actually saying, well, you know, we would rather take things in-house than have third-party vendors if that means we're vulnerable?
Yeah,
I think across many industries, people look at doing things in-house and they come to the realization that their core competence as a business is generally not building technology. If you're a bank, your core competence is providing banking services, and the building blocks of technology behind the scenes are not a core competence. They're things that need to be developed rapidly. They need to be at the forefront of innovation, which means learning from hundreds of thousands of organizations that are also using their own technologies. So the people that might consider building things in-house, to be honest, 25, 30 years ago was quite the norm. Very few people are doing it today because they need the innovation, they need the speed, and they need the global best practices.
Yeah, I get what you mean there. And, you know, especially so with Singapore's digital banking push. Though we did talk about the digital transformation efforts in the financials sector, how all of this impacts. What does this implicate where compliance costs is concerned?
Well, compliance costs across every industry has increased massively in the last decade. Things like cyber in particular are absolutely, and have been for the last decade, the boardroom discussion. It's not just the financial cost of a breach, it's the cost to your reputation if you get breached as well. So compliance costs are increasing, and it's just a burden that not just financial institutions, but even software institutions like us that are suppliers to the world, we are compliance costs have increased astronomically as well. It's something that cannot be avoided, though.
Across the board.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, amid these new guidelines from MAS, I am very, very curious about whether or not the talent is available to companies to make sure that those guidelines are met, because this has been one of the big problems, hasn't it, particularly here in Singapore, of getting people, A, who understand the, you know, the world that you're working in, but also who can look at the compliance aspect of this and still have the skills and experience to do so.
Yeah, I mean, there is absolutely a shortage of talent, not just in Singapore, but everywhere, because this is not something you can teach at college. I mean, you can teach the basics and the foundations, but because the hackers essentially go to the same colleges, whatever the people are doing the compliance, they're learning exactly the same as what the hackers. So it's all about keeping ahead of hackers, which means you need people that have been around for a while that can learn from their own mistakes. Obviously, the use of machine learning, artificial intelligence can help a lot going forward, but the talent shortage of mature, experienced people is real, which is why companies rely on people like Micro Focus, where we talk almost daily to 40,000 customers. They're asking, what are other people doing? What have they been attacked? What types of best practices are they implementing? So one of the things that's very topical at the moment is a concept, without getting too technical, it's called DevSecOps, and it's development, security, and operations. And it's the bringing together of the development organization, the operations organization, and the security organization, three disparate units, bringing them all together into one cohesive unit, so that when software is being talked about, these three organizations are talking together, ever from the design stage all the way through the development, the testing and the deployment, and then the updating stage, these people are all working together to make sure that software is what we call secured by design. In other words, not secured at the end after everything's built.
Stephen, the last question is an opinion question. I mean, you've talked a lot about best practices and getting people together. I suppose with the increase in awareness to cyber attacks, realistically, in your opinion, do we expect the frequency of cyber attacks to get worse in spite of the fact that, because bad guys are getting more and more creative? What are your thoughts on this?
They will get worse. The bad guys are getting more creative. Those individual operators, and we even just last week, we heard about another attack vulnerability on the Microsoft systems as well, globally as well. The stakes are high. As more and more things get digitized, there's more opportunity and more doors that people could potentially open. So staying ahead of these threats, learning from other organizations, using and learning from the best practices of companies like Micro Focus is absolutely paramount and essential.
All right. We've been speaking with Stephen McNulty, who's president Asia Pacific and Japan for Micro Focus. Stephen, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.